Heather Andrews, international four-time best-selling author on Amazon and seven-time author, has gone from restructured to reinvented through the power of story. With her publishing company increasing with 95% business growth in 1 year, she has been nominated as Entrepreneur of the Year by Business From the Heart. She is on a mission to help others share their stories with the world, to help inspire and heal others. From her signature books on Amazon, top 10 bestseller, Obstacles Equal Opportunities, and number one bestseller, The Real Journey of the Empowered Mom Boss, Heather is poised for supernova and taking her company to the top. As she owns her own media production, Tenacious Living Station, she runs her own podcast, The Heather Andrews Show, and the network holds over 500 podcasts of her and others. Her radio show, Follow It Through to Your Stellar Life, has an international following. Heather's dynamic and inspiring manner, her voice for self-discovery, and fearless revitalization makes her a woman with a mission. Are you ready? Here's Heather.
Thank you for joining our show. Today, we are talking with Nicole Hoy, mom, teacher, administrator, and best-selling author. Nicole's mission is to help teachers inspire, maintain, regain their flair for teaching. Welcome to our show, Nicole.
Thanks for having me, Heather. I'm excited to be here.
Absolutely. I love it. And tell us a little bit about how your journey started.
Okay. So as far back as I can remember, I've always wanted to be a teacher. I have so many memories as a child of playing school in my children's basement, gathering any neighborhood child I could get my hand on. And I never deviated from that calling of mine. If you would ask, you know, my parents or high school teachers, middle school teachers, everyone would tell you they knew that I wanted to be a teacher. And I wanted to set my sights on making a difference in the lives of students. So at 24 years old, I graduated with my teaching degree. And I recall the first time that I set foot into a classroom. It's a vivid photographic memory in my mind. And it was truly a day that I felt like I was at home. I had this passion for teaching, and it was purposeful. I was excited to speak with colleagues, to read new research. I spent hours and hours on weekends planning, searching through different garage sales, dollar stores, preparing for the week ahead. And I lived this zest, Heather, and pizzazz for teaching for such a long time. And I would say that the first 4 to 5 years of my teaching career, though, I lived this day in and day out, 24 hours a day. And after about 4 years, I felt a shift. And the shift was I felt almost this feeling of dread and resentment going to school each day, which I had never felt before, because I realized the passion inside me was slowly dwindling. It definitely happened slowly over time, where some teacher burnout had set in. And I don't know the exact day that I got it back, if it took some time once I realized this, but I can tell you the exact day that I realized I lost it. And it was the day when I looked down at my young son. And I had asked myself, would I want to be his teacher? And the answer at that moment in time was sadly no. So I knew I had to change and to regain that flair for teaching. So as I had just said, I'm not sure the day I got it back exactly, but it definitely happened over time. But I knew the day I had lost it when I looked into my son's eyes. And so as I went through my next few weeks and months of school, I just really solidified my sights on why I became a teacher in the first place. And I focused on those relationships with students. And really, that's how I got my flair back. I refused to be mediocre for other people's children because I didn't want anyone else to be mediocre for my own. So that really changed my perspective of where I was in my journey.
Wow. It's amazing how our children help us find truth within ourselves.
They're so wise. You know, even if they don't know what lesson they are teaching you, absolutely, if it wasn't for my son, I don't really know where I would be today, because I think that I had to put myself in other parents' in perspectives about what were they thinking about me standing in front of their children every day? What were the students thinking about me? Did they think that I had, you know, lost my passion and flair for teaching? I didn't really know, but I know that if I was realizing it, then definitely other students and parents had to be realizing it as well.
Perfect. I love it. And this realization has set you on a whole new path of passion and purpose and how to create influence and impact for other teachers. And And you just recently wrote a book. Please tell us about that.
Yeah, so I really, after I had regained my flair for teaching, and that's, I guess, would be almost, I would say 10 years ago now, I just knew that I really wanted to help other teachers that were going through a similar, if you will, teacher burnout. And so about 3 years ago, I had written a story and left it on my computer for quite some time. And then I came back to that story again because I kept having this conversation with teachers, whether it was in my own school or whether it was friends from other schools or even other provinces, about just how they were feeling about, you know, overload and how they really hadn't felt that passion for teaching in a long time. And I thought, I have this story sitting on my computer that was about a teacher who had lost her passion for teaching and how students helped her get it back. And so I knew I had to do something with this. And so that's when Miss Claire Has Lost Her Flair was born. And this book, I really believe, is going to influence teachers in that it will remind them of their brilliance as teachers. It'll remind them of the hard work that they do and the dedication to their career that they've chosen. And I just really want it to be a platform for people to discuss what they're feeling in their day-to-day. And it's not really just for teachers. It's for anyone who has had a passion or a flair for something in their life, but they have realized that maybe they don't have it anymore. And they just need reminders of how to get it back. And I know that I had to lose my flair to almost get it back. And I would say that I am definitely more passionate about teaching than I even was when I first started.
Wow. So share with us how you got your flair back. Did you do personal development? Did you go for counseling? Because there's the realization piece, and then there's usually the support piece that comes along with that. And I always know that our listeners love to know the how behind the journey. And would you be willing to share a little bit of that with us?
Absolutely. I would say it was many things. I would say that I would journal a lot. So I would journal about things that brought me joy throughout my day. So it wasn't just joy at home, which of course was important, but it was what were things that brought me joy as a teacher. And so I would put down things such as, you know, student relationships or connections with parents, making kind of that personalized connection with kiddos. And so I would really focus on realistically that relationship with kids. If I found myself in a day, things were getting away from me, or I thought, oh my gosh, there's just so much piling up on my to-do list, I would spend time with students and I would talk to them. I wanted to get to know the ins and outs of their own personal life, what kinds of things that they themselves were passionate about. And just really by conversing with students and with families, I love having connection with parents in my classroom as a teacher, I really started to regain my flair back. However, though, I would say I also had to set boundaries on my time at school. When I was at school, I was at school. And when I was at home, I was at home. And before, I didn't really have a distinct difference. I would bring tons of things home with me. I would be searching online all night for different lesson plans or different ideas. I really wouldn't be at home when I was at home. I was always thinking about my lesson for the next day. And so when I was at school, I felt that guilt about because I hadn't spent enough time at home. So once I started setting boundaries on my time, so I would leave school at a certain time of day, but then I would leave school. I would not take things home with me anymore. Of course, the odd thing here and there on a weekend, but realistically, when I was at home, I was at home and vice versa. So I would, because I was spending more time with my family at home, and by that time I'd had a second child, I really was pouring myself at home into them. And then at school, I didn't have to have that guilt as much because I knew that I was spending my undivided time with them when I was away. And once I started taking care of myself, I could take better care of my students. And that's when I can truly say that my flair was back and stronger than ever before. Another thing I did was that if a child popped into my mind or an idea when I was at home, I would just quickly jot it down in my journal. And then the next morning when I got to school, I would open that journal and I would just I would deal with it right away. So it wasn't that I wasn't thinking about school still at home, but I was having a very strict boundary on that time. I would take 30 seconds to jot down my idea or that kiddo I need to connect with the next day. And then in the morning I would deal with it. I wouldn't spend all night stewing about it as I once had.
Perfect. Thank you for sharing that. It's amazing. And that boundary piece is so crucial, right? When, you know, as a career person, woman, mom, teacher, administrator, because you have many roles that you play within the school system.
Mm-hmm, for sure. And I would say that today, even today, like for my current context that I'm in right now, absolutely. Is it difficult to not take things home? For sure it is. But I just know that if I want to be my best in both realms of my life or all realms of my life, then I need to really truly stick to what I have set out, you know, 10 years ago, because I do find myself slipping, as we all do, just one more thing. But I also do something where I set a list in the morning at school with three things I have to accomplish before I leave that day. And then once those three things are done, I'm not adding six more things to the list anymore. If I have time to get them done, it's great, but I'm not continuously now saying, oh, one more thing. If it gets to a certain time of day and I've said I'm going to leave, or I have to, you know, drive my children to hockey or cheerleading, or I'm meeting up with a friend even, I'm like, no, that's a commitment I have made. I am leaving work and it will all be here tomorrow. So I keep having to remind myself. It's a practice for sure. It's a daily practice.
It sounds like it was a lot of refocusing on priorities and what's important.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. It was.
Yeah. And I think sometimes in today's world, we lose focus because we get caught in the swirl of the busy. And I know for a fact that you are a very busy woman. And I love how you have just said, this is my work time. This is my kid time. And there are those exceptions when I need to bring something home or special commitments or something like that from work. But for the most part, you know, you set your work hours and you just move through that space.
Yeah. And I always tell people too, because, you know, I am very busy. My kids are very involved in activities. I volunteer, you know, I'm an administrator and author and doing lots of different things. However, people are like, how do you balance that? And I always say, I didn't find a balance. I found a new lifestyle. I found a new way of doing things to what worked for myself and to my family. So it comes in ebbs and flows, right? So when my kids are really busy and I'm working on that, or when I, you know, for example, the book's been launching, so it's been incredibly busy with that. So I just would say it's not a balance. It's just finding my way through it is what I tell myself every day.
Mm-hmm. And I find too that life shifts. And what one day, what balance looks like, isn't necessarily what it's going to look like for the next month.
For sure. Absolutely.
And I've had a lot of, you know, just life happenings and choices that I've made. And there's just been a whole new creation of new lifestyle and balance in there. And I love how you say that it's a new lifestyle, because it really is. And when you're passionate about, you know, what you do, it's so much more powerful.
Yes. And I find, like, you know, I have to say that going to work every day is truly not a chore for me. Like, you know, when they say to find something that you do at your level, it will never be work. That is true. That's what I'm living right now, because I found my purpose. And because of that, I can influence. And for me, I really have this soft spot for teachers. I will always be a teacher. Even though I'm an administrator, I tell all staffs I've ever worked with, I'm a teacher first, and I am there to support them, support students, of course, as well. But really, teachers, if I can focus on teachers as an administrator, then I know that I can get to more students.
I love it. And so that's taken us on the journey of publishing your book, and also igniting your business, which is Ignite, Inspire, and Impact. Can you give us a little bit of breakdown as to what each of those words means for you?
So for me, it's the word ignite is to really ignite your passion. So, and whatever it is that you do. So like I'd said before, it doesn't have to necessarily be teaching, but anything that you have had a passion for in the past, whether it's an artistic passion, athletic passion, a career passion, and really just remind yourself and to think back to what ignited you in the first place, and to really focus and hone in on that. And then the next word, to inspire. So for me, because I have, you know, I ignited that passion of teacher wellness and really being able to support teachers, I want to now spread that by inspiring. So by sharing my story, that's how I'm inspiring others, for other people to maybe be a mentor, to share their story. That might be a different way of their inspiring other people. And that last word, impact, is what impact do I want to have? And right now, my impact is to inspire teachers, or to have them to look at their teaching and either regain their flair to maintain it, or to share it with other people. So my impact really right now lies with teachers.
I love it. And by publishing your book, Miss Claire Has Lost Her Flair, what platform and what was that experience like for you publishing your book?
Yeah, you know, this book has been just such a labor of love, as you know, Heather. And the team I've had around me through the follow through publishing has been absolutely instrumental in where I've been, because to be honest, I never thought this book would be as big as it actually is. I had this dream, of course, to publish a book, a children's book, just because my love for children's literature. But really, I didn't realize the book when I started was going to be my impact in a way. But I saw through the journey that it truly is. And because I know that if I get this book and the story into the hands of students, their families, and then teachers and schools, that I really hope that teachers can see themselves in Miss Claire. And so at some point, you know, in all of our lives, we have this time where maybe we're second guessing ourselves. So we're thinking what we can inspire to do better or where we've come from. And so I really think that people can see themselves in Miss Claire. They can see themselves in some of the little boy in the book, one of the main characters, about how it's okay to lose your flair. Absolutely. But there's a community of people around you, whether it's students, teachers, your family, your friends, that can lift you up and re-inspire you. And so I would say that this platform of writing the story was my own journey to regaining another level of passion, because after this book is done now, it's been, you know, about 10 months in the making, I have this absolute rejuvenated passion for what I'm doing, which is to help inspire teachers.
Absolutely. And the personal wellness piece is just such a beautiful way to have been a part of that book. And having been a part of your journey, it has been just an incredible experience watching Miss Claire come to life in this. And so my question is like, did you actually have a vision of what Miss Claire looked like when you started working with Lorraine Shulba, the illustrator?
I did and I didn't. So I had this vision of this teacher who was full of zest and pizzazz, and she wore colorful clothes, and she was, you know, bright and kind of like almost floated through her classroom, like a little bit of a rainbow. But you know, really with the help of Lorraine, she was able to really hone in on my words and into a visual representation. And so I would say that together, Miss Claire really was born. I know that I wanted certain, you know, features on her, but just by me expressing myself to Lorraine, she was able to really describe for her kind of what I wanted, and together she came alive. So the process itself was something that I never expected to be such a huge undertaking. But really, in the end, I am so proud of this book. It's beautifully illustrated. The message, because of my amazing editing team, is strong. And I really knew that I didn't want this book to be dreary and gloomy. And that's something actually that the very beginning, the first, and Carrie had mentioned, the first structural editor, about it had a bit of a gloomy tone at first, and that's not at all what I had wanted it to be. And so she was able to, you know, walk me through that process and ask me tons of questions to kind of get to that other place of where I want to really have my message be. And so I have to say that really for me was like, no, I don't want that to be my message. So I'm so happy that other people were able to give me insight on where I really needed my story to go. And so now I would say absolutely my story is what I want my message to be for teachers.
Absolutely. That's awesome. And having that team behind you on such a big vision that you've got is crucial. And even for myself, like, I know that it's my team that from our company Follow It Through Publishing that really helps authors move through that space, yourself, and having that team bring a different perspective to the story to even make it stronger for the author is so key. And for our reader.
Absolutely. It's absolutely key, because to be honest, you know, it's only, just over 1,000-word picture book. And I thought from the very beginning, oh, my story's pretty much done. Like, I just have to get, you know, editing team to kind of look at more of the grammatical piece. But boy, was I wrong. And really, though, by the end, I'm so grateful I was wrong, because I wanted my message to be super clear. And so by people giving me that further insight, I can tell you now that I'm very, very happy with the outcome.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. And just to some kind of help us sum up everything, I know many times that you've talked about, you know, the teaching, the building relationships, the making connections. Can you just give us a little bit of how, you know, because parents are such an integral part of, well, parents are the integral part of what you do. And so how do you work, like, what are sort of those key takeaways that as moms are listening to this interview that, you know, like, how can they work better with the teachers and vice versa?
Yeah. And I find this as a parent myself, right? Is because I have two children at school at age right now. And I just really would say that for teachers that to reach out to parents, to don't be afraid to pick up the phone and make a phone call about something that positive has happened, you know, in their child's day. Obviously not every day, but just trying to make that physical connection with parents. Invite them into your classrooms, you know, send a quick email or write a little note if you have an agenda. So any personal touch that you can give a parent, I think goes a long way, especially when you have to have a difficult conversation about something that's happened at school. You already have that baseline and that foundation with that family. I love repeat families when I was teaching. So I already had that built in connection with families that I've taught, like their older students and I get their younger children. I absolutely love that. I would say, and for parents to reach out to your teachers. So I sometimes for my children's teachers, I'll send them a little note, like you're doing a great job and put, you know, give it to them. And my students or my children like to give it to their teachers. I will maybe send once in a while, if I'm in the area, drop by and bring them their favorite coffee. Like it's just that personal, I think, human connection between teachers and parents that goes such a long way if there is going to be a hard conversation down the road.
Yep. Well, it builds respect and trust, right?
Mm-hmm. And it definitely has to go both ways. And I really, I tell my staff now, if you're ever questioning something with a student, pick up the phone and call their families. Because, you know, if we let things go too long, you know, positively or negatively, I think that that's when parents think that there's been a communication breakdown. And I do absolutely believe that as a parent, we need to be informed about what's going on with our students in the day to day. And so I just tell teachers all the time, don't be afraid to pick up the phone. Like they just really want to hear from you as their teacher, regardless of what you have to tell them. So that's one thing that I loved being able to do is pick up the phone and give a parent a phone call. Just even if it was something super small from the day that was something amazing their child had done. And maybe their child had been struggling for quite a while. And, you know, they hadn't been hearing the awesome things they were doing, I would find something and I would really make sure that I told that family about it.
I love it. And, you know, I'm a mom of three and I've for like 22 years, right? And I've always had very, very, even though I might not have hit every single parent-teacher interview, I've always had really good working rapport with the parents or with the teachers because they knew I always made it known who I was. And I always wrote back in the journal, thank you for, you know, thank you for doing such a great job. And thank you for making me aware of this. And just showing that day-to-day gratitude, even as you said, in a short little note, it means that you are involved and that there is that place for open dialogue and reach out and things like that, cool.
And absolutely, parents have to be our partners because both ways, right? Like we as teachers need to be inviting parents into our conversations about their child because really parents know their students, their children the best, absolutely. And so to even gain that insight and information from parents about how their child learns best, that's going to go a long way.
Absolutely. And the biggest piece that I know sometimes, and you know, as we all juggle different things in our life, you know, we might be working in a job or we might be, you know, wanting that to find that passion. And so often we hear, you know, oh, you have to quit your job to go and find who you are and what you want to do and all of these references. But with you, I find that it's just so awesome and powerful that you are still within your career of choice. You are doing what you do. You have found that reignition of flair and passion. And you've still got, and you've gone out and you've created this platform to help inspire others, which is that passion and purpose to help create that movement. And I find that it's just so powerful in that space because you didn't give up anything to, it just kind of completed a part of your soul that was just waiting to happen.
I really found that once I had regained my flair, you know, after I had lost it, and I knew that I wanted to inspire others and help others. It took many years to obviously get to that point where I was like, this is absolutely my purpose. But when I decided to truly publish the book, just, you know, within that 10 months to a year ago, I honestly feel like it was this experience I can't explain where I was like, I found my purpose. This is it. Like, this is the next chapter of my life. And so for me, I had to just focus on what brought me joy, bringing it back to that joy part. And so for me at that moment, I was like, if I can inspire one teacher, 10 teachers, 100 teachers, and, you know, keep setting my sights on what my purpose was, absolutely, I felt like I could continue with the career that I was loving so much, and also be a mom and a, you know, a wife and a friend, but also, you know, be that author I really wanted to be, and also that speaker that I'm moving into right now.
Absolutely. I love it so much. And I just always, I'm such a believer. It's my mission to help people find the power of their story. And so, and it can come out in any type of format, whether it be people share a story from, you know, just to a friend, or they share a story on a podcast, or they share a story to a group of people from a speaking platform, or even publish their book in the capacity that you've done. And so the thing that I really want to leave with today is the fact that, you know, you found your story and it was a pivotal point for you to go out to create something different to help others.
Absolutely. And I am so grateful that I found, you know, you, Heather, and your team, because I really believe that that has, I would even like, brought to a different level. Like, right when I would just had this story sitting on my computer, and I thought, oh yeah, you know, I can publish a children's book or whatnot. But to hold that book in my hands right now and know that that another teacher on somewhere other side of the city or the province or the world even is holding this book and reading my words, but also knowing that those words hold power to them as a teacher, that to me, I know that my impact is beyond what I had once anticipated, and I'm so grateful for that.
Yeah. And I believe too, that as parents read this to their children at night, there's going to be something in those words that they will know that they might be inspired, and to know that they're not alone in that space either. And because the world really is, it's hungry for that connection, because the busyness is, and the, you know, the being on all the time, because we have our phones with us and things like that. We the tendency to burn out if we don't keep focus on what's important, and our heart and our soul and what's igniting our passion and our why. We're hungry for that.
And what I love about this story is that it's a young child. It's a student of Miss Claire's that helps her regain her flair. So I think it talks about the power of children as well.
Yes, absolutely. And children are such a powerful source. And I had the opportunity to speak to a group of young millennials. And I guess after I walked out of the room, the lady told me that she said there was the whole piece. We talked a lot about showing up. And, you know, and I know that that's how you talk about that pivot when, you know, you kind of stopped showing up for your children. And then when your child called you out kind of thing on it, that's when you knew you had to change. And so by bringing that, those words to, you know, these group of young millennials, I guess they had quite the discussion on how they could actually show up for each other a little bit more.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah, you're right. Everyone just wants that human connection, Heather.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you did your book launch and we were able to take in that event with you, I just felt so much love in that room for your mission, your platform. And it was just an amazing day for you. And I just want to say, like, you know, the thing is, everything's, oh, well, I just got to do this on my own. And it's, you, this isn't meant to be done on your own. And I want just to, before we close up, I just want to ask you, you know, you had a whole tribe come with you on this journey. So can you just give us a little bit of the, what you did to create that space and bring those people along with you?
Yeah, so it obviously started with my team at Follow Through Publishing, and so once we got to that point of where okay, we're ready to start telling the world about this book, what I did was I actually went to Instagram first, because Instagram is a platform that many teachers use to share about their day in and day out of the classroom, and so I started an account, Teacher Flair, and it started just to slowly grow with people from all over Canada and really around the world. So now I'm connected with not just teachers, mainly teachers, but from all over, and people I have met before, which I think is the coolest thing ever. Also, colleagues I've had in the past, I have worked with the most amazing educators throughout my 15 years. And so they've come around this journey with me as well. So just by heading to social media, actually, I was able to grow a community of teachers who really believed in this idea of regaining or maintaining their flair for teaching. And so that's really the community I had been able to take with me on this journey, as well as slowly filtering into Facebook right now, but also just the community of people I have around me in general is the most amazing people. They say you surround yourself with people and they lift you up. And that's truly has happened. As you mentioned from that launch, I was so incredibly overwhelmed yet grateful at my launch party. Because when I looked out into that room of, you know, nearly 100 people, I felt such love and support from all of them. And I knew that everyone in that room believed in my mission just as much as I had. And when I first started, I believed in my mission and I believed in what my influence and impact would be, but I really didn't know if others would. But when I looked out at the eyes of everyone that night, I knew everyone believed. So I was like, wow, like I had this community of friends and family, but I also have this online community of teachers and other people who believe just as strongly in it as well. And to me, that was powerful feedback.
Perfect. And if someone wants to reach out to you, where can they find you?
Yeah, so on my website, nicolehoy.com, and then I hang out mainly on Teacher Flair for my social media on Instagram. And then my email would be hello@nicolehoy.com.
Excellent. I love it. And I'm so blessed to have you inspiring so many with your mission and your platform. And we're just very blessed to have worked with you. And once again, you heard, reach out to Nicole. And thank you, Nicole, for coming on and sharing all of your wisdom.
Oh, thanks. Thank you, Heather, so much for having me.
Perfect. And once again, thank you for joining us today. I'm Heather Andrews, helping you reach your story within so that you can go out and share your story with the world to help inspire others and know that they're not alone. Till next time.